Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I want you to take a good look up there on the wall. What do you see?
I see the Vegas Cup, dude.
You see the Vegas Cup. Dude, who won the Vegas Cup in 2012?
Dude, do we have to go
who
through this?
Who won the Vegas Cup in 2012?
You did.
Who won the Vegas Cup in 2013?
You did.
And who's going to defend their title for the three-peat, dude? This guy.
No.
This guy.
No.
We just did our draft. I love my draft, dude.
Oh, suck it.
I love it.
No, you don't.
Dude, I love my teams. I have the Panthers. They're going to win the whole damn thing because they signed Brad Boyes today.
$1 million. Brad Boyes.
Yeah.
And Tim Thomas.
Yes. Playoffs.
Okay. So the one undrafted team, for those who didn't listen a whole year ago, how dare you, the bet is Doug and I each draft 28 of the 30 teams, the two teams not being drafted, of course, one being the Sharks, the second being whichever is the worst team.
Which team we consider collectively to be the worst team
and then
in the NHL.
Whoever wins the cup, whoever drafted that team wins a free trip to Vegas.
Yes.
If the Sharks are in the cup, then the bet is off because you do not root against the Sharks.
No, and we go to Vegas anyways.
And we go to Vegas anyway, but we just pay our own way. And my drafting strategy was very well considered last year, and I still got my ass kicked. So this year, I had a completely different strategy with the likelihood being that I get my ass kicked. So it's, at least it's a new strategy.
Let's be clear. The last 2 years in the Stanley Cup Finals, I've had both teams.
I know.
So it hasn't even been fun.
I know.
In terms of the winning has just been so easy, dude.
I don't like my chances. Now that I look at my draft, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Let me tell you, I one thing you did that shocked me.
What?
How high you took Vancouver. I couldn't believe you did that.
I know. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The two scales I used were Vegas odds and the Hockey Prospectus GVT ranking. And Vancouver wasn't bad. So, I don't know what I was doing.
But this is a different team.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I was doing. That was stupid. I shouldn't have done that.
Well,
that's my one pick that I regret.
I'll say, we both love the New York Rangers this year.
Yeah.
If I had, you know, the opportunity to pick first, I would have not have picked them because I picked Boston.
Yes, you did.
That's who I think will win the Cup this year. But I do like the Rangers.
I really like the Rangers. Really like the Rangers. So, yeah. Anyway, I got the Rangers and I got Pittsburgh. So, I think one of those three teams will probably win the Cup. All Eastern Conference teams, most likely.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Pittsburgh and New York.
Yeah.
I've got Boston. I've got Chicago and LA.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got St. Louis. I think, you know, I've got a good shot of having the Western Conference team. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, you've got Chicago, LA. I'm sorry. I've got Chicago, LA. I have Detroit. I have Philly. I'm high on Toronto. I know you're not.
No, I'm not.
You're high on Montreal. I have them.
Yeah.
You have Ottawa.
I have Ottawa. Both rankings were high on Ottawa, actually. So, anyway. Well, the bet continues, dude. I have to plan our Vegas trip from this past winning season.
I'm looking forward to it.
And now we are less than a week away from opening night. No more pussyfooting around. Some people look a lot into the results of preseason games. I honestly couldn't care less about whether the Sharks win or lose preseason games.
Right.
You look at some of these guys who are playing big minutes, and it's just not a fair representation of who the Sharks are. They're playing, you know, I see John McCarthy on the bench. I see Matt Nieto playing these minutes. I see all these guys playing a lot.
Well,
and it's just not. It's
those guys might be playing, dude,
not
based on some of the injuries we've had in the opening 2 weeks. I think the biggest Sharks news is Rafi Torres being out, having ACL surgery, out 3 to 5 months, dude. 3 to 5 months, which I took that. I didn't take that well.
No.
When I read that this week, I didn't take it well. I was pretty upset about it, actually, because we saw the transformation this team made when he became a Shark. And mm-hmm. while they played admirably without him against the Kings, and they held their own, they couldn't beat him. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the identity of this team without Rafi Torres. And that's how they say they want to play. North, south, a little bit of extra attitude. And when you lose his presence from the lineup,
mm-hmm.
you know, are one of these kids going to really be able to pick up the slack, dude?
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, I got the latest Hockey Perspectives annual, as I do every year. I encourage everybody to get it.
Love it.
If you don't agree with all the evaluations, I understand, but you at least got to read it because they make a good point. It's solidly based on statistics, and there's a lot of descriptions that are pretty entertaining. Let me read you the first sentence of the Rafi Torres paragraph. He has a deserved reputation as a predatory hitter, but Rafi Torres can flat out play hockey. That's who we're missing. That's who the Sharks are going to be missing. 3 to 5 months. I think it's very likely he won't be effective at all this coming season. It's rare when you see a guy tear his ACL and come back the same season and can play. It's just, that's a devastating injury for a professional athlete. I don't care what sport you play. There are probably worse injuries for a hockey player, but it's not good news. And as you said, it's going to seriously tarnish sort of the new identity that the Sharks are supposedly building. I mean, this guy, maybe not the most important scoring threat on the Sharks, but he's certainly the physical threat, and he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Torres' numbers, you know, in the previous years, full seasons with teams, you know, in Phoenix in 11-12, he had 15 goals. And in 2010-11 in Vancouver, he had 14 goals. If he had been playing on the second line with Couture and Marleau the full season, I don't think it'd be out of bounds to say he could have got 20 goals. I mean, we've seen the scoring talent from this guy, and we've said before he was a top 10 draft pick in the NHL. And this guy can play beyond his physical mm-hmm. presence. And it's a bummer. You know, it bums me out. But if we're looking for any sort of silver lining, we're going to definitely get to see what a few of these young guys are made of early.
Yes.
You know, because some of these kids are going to make the team, right, dude?
Thomas Hurdle's going to make the team.
Right. But even beyond Hurdle, I mean, we're talking about, we've got a couple spots now.
Yeah. Nieto could be that guy.
Could be Nieto, which would be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, to give him, you know, a handful of games up front and see what happens.
He's got a lot of speed, and I know some of our listeners complained about the overall lack of Sharks' top-end speed. Matt Nieto, if nothing else, he's got that. He buzzes around the ice like crazy. You know, a very effective player at the Division I college level. You know, this guy does not appear intimidated in any way. You know, I've certainly been trying to watch him. I've been trying to watch Hurdle, trying to watch some of these new guys, Tyler Kennedy. You know, we'll talk about all those guys. And, you know, I think Nieto right now, from what I've seen in the preseason, he's got a lot of speed. I don't see a whole lot else from Nieto, but he's a young kid. He hasn't played even at the professional level, really. And so, you know, you've got to let him grow into being a more mature hockey player. The guy who seems to be a more mature hockey player certainly is Thomas Hurdle. And he scored 2 goals the other night. He scored 3 goals in the preseason. This guy's going to make the team. It's a lock. It was, you know, certainly Doug Wilson was high on this guy and all throughout the offseason, and everybody took note of it. And going into camp, I'm sure all Sharks fans were collectively holding their breath, hoping that this guy can deliver on these expectations that have been placed on him. And now, at least in the preseason, those expectations have worn out. This guy is a good player. He can score. He's got a nose for the net. He got a fluky goal off of Hannon, and then he got an absolutely legitimate goal later in the game. This guy's going to be on the Sharks opening night roster, and it's not even a question.
Yeah. The question is, for me, can the Sharks be a Stanley Cup contender with two rookie forwards playing 60, 70 games?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, yes, because
we saw it last year.
We saw it last year with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Brandon Saad.
Yeah, Brandon Saad. And you know, Andrew Shaw yep. had you know, 37 games in 2011, but for, you know, last year was really his first full season of professional hockey. And Andrew Shaw played so well, they traded Dave Bolin.
That's right.
So, and you saw other guys on that team take a much larger role than they had had before. So the opportunity is going to be there for some of these players to step up and fill the void of Rafi Torres, but it certainly wasn't how I wanted to start the year.
No, you know, we were itching for a contract extension to Rafi Torres. We got it, and then he goes out in the preseason in a fluky accident, breaks his knee, and now he's out.
Yeah, I hate Emerson Edom now. I'm gonna boo that guy every time. It's intentional.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Dude, other than that, dude.
Other new guy, Tyler Kennedy.
Yeah. Well, this guy.
Dude, what did I text you during the game?
You texted me. You said you missed Gagliardi, and that was a terrible move.
No, what did I really text?
You said Kennedy's 10 times better than Gagliardi.
I said he's a billion times better than Gagliardi. This guy is fast. He is super fast everywhere. He's got great hands. He hit the post within the first 3 minutes of the game against Vancouver. This guy's all over the ice. He's a scoring threat. He can finish. It's great. He's exactly what we wanted out of TJ Gagliardi and could never get. And I think you put him in the top six with Joe or Couture, and he's going to more than hold up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, that could be a huge steal. I mean, this could be a huge steal. A totally under-the-radar move. A guy that's going to give you potential 20-goal production for a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a steal if that's what happens. So that's definitely looking good. Any other roster spots that appear to be up for grabs? It seems like almost everything else is nailed down. It looks like Adam Burrish is a little banged up. You know, is mm-hmm. Burrish going to be ready to start the year? Is Brad Stewart going to be ready to start the year? You know, we haven't seen Stewart play one moment
right
in the preseason, and Burrish had missed. Has Burrish played?
I don't think he's played yet.
So, you know, last game's tonight. Now, they don't have to play in a preseason game to play on Thursday.
No.
But are they going to be ready? I mean, it's hard to know. We're recording this on Saturday.
Yeah.
But as of right now, how confident do you feel that both those guys are going to play on Thursday against Vancouver?
I'm not very confident about Stewart for whatever reason. I mean, he's the older player for one. I don't think anybody has really said definitively that they plan to see him opening night, but of the positions that are more locked up, I think it's a little bit easier to play without Brad Stewart than without Adam Burrish. Although Adam Burrish was awful last year, and maybe the Sharks would be better off if he didn't play at all. So.
Well, now, to be fair, Burrish was way better in the playoffs when he came back.
Yes.
He was way better. It was the guy that we expected.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm willing to have a clean slate with Adam Burrish this year.
Oh, I want him to succeed. There's no doubt about it. Otherwise, that contract looks horrible, and the Sharks are still desperately in need of good fourth-line players.
So if Stewart's out, fortunately, you know, the Sharks have pretty good depth at that position. You know, if Stewart plays, then either Demers or Hannon is out,
mm-hmm.
or Braun or Irwin.
And we haven't even talked about Tennyson.
Yeah, you got to think Matt Tennyson is not going to be on the team to start.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the first guy up. I think that's when someone gets hurt, and I don't think Stewart's hurt enough that they're going to IR him, then Tennyson will come up.
You know,
he'll be the first guy up, but I don't think I haven't seen a single moment in person, dude. So you tell me, you've seen a couple games at the Tank in the preseason. Have you seen anything from Tennyson that makes you go, gosh, this guy's ready now? I mean,
no.
Ready now.
He only played 4 games last year. So
right.
I there's nothing that tells me he's ready now. Demers hasn't looked terrible, which is
a ringing endorsement.
It's an improvement, frankly, over what we saw from him last year.
Right.
So, we've said it so many times, it's getting old, but, you know, Demers is clearly now on that razor edge between being an NHL player and not, when he seemed so promising 2 and 3 years ago. Now it's, can he rescue his career from this downward slide?
Let's take a stab at the opening night roster, shall we? Because another player that we haven't mentioned is Freddie Hamilton, who has been, by all accounts, impressive. Now, like I said, I haven't seen it myself, but he certainly has gotten some good publicity. So you've got Hamilton, you've got Nieto, and you've got some of these other usual suspects like Pelech, McCarthy, guys who you feel like you know what you're going to get out of them.
Yeah.
So what's the point? So let's look at the forwards here, dude. I mean, the Sharks right now are $1 million over the cap. We know that that's going to change because as soon as the season starts, they're going to IR Torres for sure.
LTIR Torres.
And
LTIR.
They'll ETIR Havlat.
That's right.
You know, so the Sharks actually are going to have about $5.5 million of cap space, right?
Roughly. Maybe a little bit less. Yeah.
So they could make a move early. They could. Because, you know, we don't know when Havlat's coming back. We know Torres isn't coming back until February at the earliest.
Right.
It'll be like trading for him at the trade deadline, except for he'll only have one leg.
Right.
So Marlowe, Thornton, Burns.
Yep.
I mean, if you're looking at the top line, it looks like it's going to be Burns, Thornton, and Hurdle, right?
Yeah.
Second line, Marlowe, Couture, Kennedy?
Probably.
Third line, Pavelski, Wingles. They've been playing Nieto there.
Yeah.
Are you going to think it's Nieto?
I mean, I don't see another person who could fill that role, so let's say yes.
Okay, so Nieto.
And then it's Shepherd, Desjardins, and
Burrish.
Yeah. That seems to be the most likely opening night roster to me.
So then who's the extra guy? Your extra forward? Is it McCarthy? Is it Freddie Hamilton? Is it Pelech? I mean, who do you keep at this point?
I think you keep McCarthy, but I don't think he's really going to play because you want Freddie Hamilton playing. You don't want Freddie Hamilton riding the pine or playing 3 minutes. So you take him back down. I could even see Pelech in that spot because you know exactly what you're going to get from Pelech. He doesn't need to play in the NHL. McCarthy, you know, he played on the Sharks roster, what, 2-3 years ago? A more regular, he played several games, half the games, something along those lines. And you know, it's sort of the same situation. You know what you're going to get. He's fairly responsible. He's not particularly large. He's not terrible, but he's not really effective. He's a replacement level player, and that's about it. So, you know, and Matt Pelech can punch people in the face. Which would you rather have? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You don't want Freddie Hamilton just hanging out. You know, either he's going to beat Nieto out for that spot or he's not. And I think he's not. He's probably the first guy who'll get called up if they have a long range need. You'd think that might be him. I'm going to go with McCarthy also just because he kind of fits the profile of a guy that could be all right, just sort of rotting in the press box. And you know, I guess with Pelech, too, you've got some flexibility if it's him because he could play D, he could play up front. I mean, if they decided to just have him there.
Yeah.
And he can be a punching bag.
What about Kearns?
Yeah, you know what? We're not talking about Bracken Kearns, actually. Yeah. I mean, Kearns scored a goal last night.
I might be up for Bracken Kearns. And I forgot to mention last week when we were talking about fantasy, but someone has a fantasy team name called Release the Bracken, which is clearly the best fantasy team name in our league. So congratulations to that person. I don't know.
I'm going to change it. I agree. Kearns.
Bracken Kearns.
Kearns.
Yeah. Bracken Kearns.
Bracken Kearns.
Okay.
The D is pretty easy.
Yeah.
And are we going Stalock over Sateri?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. So that's it. So we're just going to say Nieto's going to make the team. Barring some sort of unforeseen acquisition, which is probably not possible because the Sharks want to be as close to that cap as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be under, you know, by the time... Wait, we didn't even consider that. They have to be under by opening night before they can use LTIR and bring guys back.
Well, they could put him on LTIR like the day before. They don't have to wait for the season to start.
But doesn't that impact how much space they get?
I'm not exactly sure how that's calculated.
Hmm.
It might be like they place him on LTIR opening day, so technically they're on the roster opening day, and then, you know, it's that.
Interesting.
Because, well, I mean, yeah, you can't just... I mean, if the Sharks were completely at the cap, even with Havlat's salary over, they could just put him on LTIR and be okay.
Looking at this roster, dude, who do you think has the possibility to be the biggest surprise, and who do you think is set up to be the biggest disappointment?
The biggest disappointment, let's see. I think the biggest disappointment could be one of the defensemen. I think, you know, I'm not saying it will happen, but one of Braun or Irwin going down could be a huge problem for the Sharks. And Irwin was fine, but Irwin played with Boyle all year. And if he plays with somebody else, you know, he could take a hit and he might be a little bit more exposed. I'm not sure how much Boyle was protecting him, but it's certainly conceivable it was a lot. So, and Justin Braun has never really taken that next step that we've hoped for. And the same can be said about Demers. Those three guys, it can be a little scary. I'm worried about those three guys. The guy who could be the big bounce back guy is somebody I already talked about. I think Tyler Kennedy can be the guy that everybody sort of expected. Oh, he's small and fast, but he could quickly become sort of this. I think he could be a really good second line player or top six player, and he could play in a lot of different situations. He could be getting a lot of power play time and things like that. So I'm happy for Tyler Kennedy so far, and you know, at least some of the stuff that I've read, he just didn't really sort of fit in to the Pittsburgh system, and I think he might fit in better with the Sharks. So I'm hoping for a breakout year from Tyler Kennedy. What do you think, dude?
I would agree with Braun and
Irwin
being your suspects for guys that you're concerned that maybe they're either going to take a step forward or they're going to take a step back. And it would not shock me if one of them went backwards, right? If one of them went backwards. I think two things are going to happen this year, dude, in terms of surprises, and maybe calling them a surprise isn't necessarily fair, but last time Patrick Marleau was in a contract year, I seem to recall there being 37 goals and 73 points.
Right.
So I think as mild-mannered as Mr. Marleau may be, he is motivated by the do-re-mi. Thank you so much.
Tip your waitress. Joe Thornton too, dude. Don't forget.
Yeah, I mean, Joe had a good year, but he's been a little bit more consistent.
Yeah.
I think Marleau, we're set up for one of those. Dude, it's such a roller coaster with Marleau. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And I think of the three, he's the one that between Boyle and Thornton and Marleau right now, I would say I would probably shed the fewest tears if he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be just like him,
right,
to put up 40 goals this year.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, I'm still here, suckers, and I can still do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The eyebrows are not leaving.
That's right.
And I don't know if you would call that a surprise, but I think based on his inconsistency and his decline at the end of last year, I'm going to say Marleau 40 goals. And I'm going to say this is the year that Couture also takes that big jump.
Mm-hmm.
That he jumps up into, you know, super stud stat category.
Right.
You know,
this could be the year where he becomes the number one center over Joe Thornton.
Right. Yeah.
All right, dude. Western Conference preview. We did Eastern Conference last week. Or do you want to do emails first?
Let's do emails.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Questions at dudesonhockey.com, of course, is the email address. Let's see. Oh, here's Garrett taking us to task about Brian Boyle, who we praised last week. My brain, as well as my car, came to a screeching halt when Mike said, I like Brian Boyle. As a lifelong Ranger fan, my only response is, why? My biggest issue with him is the inability to play to his 6'7"-ness. He's 6'7". Can't drive the net, can't set a screen all too often, worked off the puck by guys half his size. I could go on about his skating positioning, but I'd like to hear what you guys think. So, you know, actually, when I was reading Hockey Prospectus, I was paying close attention to Brian Boyle and his, you know, sort of review. And, you know, he did not have a good season last year, okay? And he had a much better season 2 years ago, you know, in 2010-2011 when he scored 21 goals, which is probably over his head. But I think he's a pretty effective player. He had a terrible shooting percentage last year, which is sort of one of the reasons why he had kind of a bad year. But I think he's, you know, Hockey Prospectus says he's a valuable checking forward. He has a penchant for banging bodies and winning faceoffs. That fits in with the Sharks. He has trouble finding the back of the net. I mean, this guy, I could see him as a good third line player. Maybe, you know, if I tried to make it sound like I would want him in the top six, I certainly take that back if that's what I said or implied. But I would be perfectly happy to see him on the third line with Joe Pavelski. Like, that would be fine with me. But, you know, that's not going to happen. I think maybe he's making too much money now. But, you know, a guy that size who can play, it's pretty good. So, you know, Brian Boyle, you know, probably a better, you know, maybe a better bet than Ryan Clough right now with Ryan Clough's injury history. So, but, you know, still not an elite player that you would want to be, you would be thrilled at to see out there on the first unit power play, for instance. But.
No. We've talked about this player before. Last year, we talked about him as a guy when he was clearly in the doghouse that we thought maybe we might be able to extract from the Rangers. Not being Rangers fans, we don't watch this guy night in, night out. So, Garrett, if you say there's a problem with Brian Boyle, I mean, I certainly believe you, you know, in terms of how you say you're not a fan of his play. I think there's probably some guys that have been Sharks in the past that fans of other teams maybe don't understand why Sharks fans are down on this guy, because I mean maybe that could be the way with Devin Setoguchi. I mean, like, mm-hmm. as much as he was a productive player, I mean, he was prone for long lapses and dry spells. And when he went to Minnesota, it seemed like the Minnesota fans were giddy with excitement to get him. And now he sure lasted a long time there. He's already gone again. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good comparison, but sorry, Garrett, if we offended you.
I'm not sorry.
Well, yeah.
All right, dude. We got a question from Scott about hybrid icing. What is your initial reaction to the hybrid icing experiment with the NHL been conducting during the preseason? Personally, I'm not a fan. Either keep the rules the way they are. If you're that concerned about injuries, go the full automatic icing rules that us beer league guys are used to. Automatic icing will keep everyone safe on both sides. While there will be some situations where an offensive player could have gotten to a puck first, we will still say with confidence the offensive team should have just made a better pass or a better play. What do you think, dude? Hybrid icing?
Automatic
icing?
I would tend to agree with Scott, just because I think if the point of the rule change is to keep the player safe, I think you're only keeping half the players safe in the equation.
Yeah.
You've got another guy who's still going full bore down the ice who could just as easily get injured. So,
right.
If that's a point, then just do automatic icing.
Yeah. You know?
But what do you think?
You know, I'm not as upset about hybrid icing as Scott is. There's a couple times actually where I was really sort of a little surprised when they called the no touch icing. In the previous game, because I thought there was at least a decent chance that the offensive player might have touched it first. So if you were going to call the hybrid icing that way, I'm actually kind of fine with it, because if it's possible that the offensive player is going to clearly win the race, then you wave it off. But if it's a 50-50 or clearly the defensive player, you just blow it dead, then actually I'm pretty cool with that. I think the one thing that leads to injuries are these, everybody's going top speed, it's a 50-50 puck, they both touch at the same time and they both slam into the boards, or someone's off balance and they get slammed into the boards. So if you're calling hybrid icing such that those particular situations are avoided, I'm actually okay with hybrid icing. You know, automatic icing, though, I wouldn't be upset about. So either one of those is fine with me. But there certainly isn't nearly as much excitement as people seem to claim on these guys racing for the puck, because most of the time it's just like the guy's all alone with the puck in the zone. In the case of the offensive player getting it, in the case of the defensive player getting it, he just touches it to his partner and then they break out. So yeah. It's not as crazy as it's not as exciting as people would like you to believe.
I think Curtis Foster would disagree with you.
Well, yeah, but that was a 50-50 puck. I mean, right. under these hybrid icing, you know, conditions, that puck would have been blown dead.
True.
So in that case, yeah, that's fine with me. I'm cool with it.
He's cool with it.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What do we got? Oh, Mark is mad because the fantasy league is full.
Sorry, Mark.
Sorry. Snooze
you
lose.
You can have my spot.
Hey.
Hey.
Dude, why are you so down on fantasy this year?
Dude. I'm not.
Dude, you're down.
I'm not.
You just threatened to give up your spot.
In jest, dude. All this right. is our league.
Just making
Do you think
sure.
that I would actually give up my spot?
I don't know.
I would not.
Okay.
I cannot wait to draft Tommy Wingles in the 6th round.
All right, dude. Western Conference, Central Division. We have the Central and the Pacific Divisions. 7 teams in each. Let's talk about the Central. Of course, we'll go in alphabetical order again. Chicago, the Stanley Cup defenders. Dude. Chicago. They got rid of Dave Bolin.
Yeah, they did, and I think that could have some. Yeah, I think the big question for them is: can Shaw and Bickle and Hanzus and Saad, can those guys repeat what they did last year? I mean, can they repeat it? You know, all four of those guys kind of came a little bit out of nowhere. So are they going to be able to repeat their performances? And the Blackhawks gave up some depth guys. They lost Frolik. I think he's much easier to replace. But the top-end talent and the D and the goaltender on this team are outstanding. And I don't think they're going to miss much of a step. The Blackhawks are still the best team in the Western Conference, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. They're going to win 20, go 23 games without a loss again, but or whatever it was. But I think that they're clearly the class of that division. Although there's another team that's going to be pretty damn good, which we'll talk about in a second. But first, we'll talk about the Avalanche. Colorado, dude, I mean, they've been pretty bad. They've had a lot of front office churn. You know, is this a team that's going to turn this thing around, or are they still in trouble?
It'll be interesting to see how they play. I don't know what Patrick Waugh's style is going to be. You know, we knew what it was under Joe Sacco. They've got some good players. I mean, they've got some good young forwards. I think their D is kind of a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, they brought in, what's his face? They have a goalie coach, Francois Allaire. He's there now to work with Semyon Varlamov. Is that going to make a difference? I mean, are we going to see him go from a lower tier NHL goaltender to an upper tier in a year by changing his technique? And we'll see.
With that D in front of him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think their D is the biggest problem. I think they'll be able to score some goals. You would think that Waugh might play an exciting style. I don't think they're a playoff team. I don't know whether they'll make a significant step forward from where they were last year in terms of being, you know, one of the three worst teams in the NHL. I mean, it's possible that could be where they land again. I could see them losing a lot of games like 5-3.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I could see the same thing. Yeah. And I mean, Landeskog's a good player. Ryan O'Reilly's a good player. Stastny's a good player. They don't really seem to have a great player on this roster. And it's hard to go very far if you don't have a really great player.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams have several, right? Witness the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. I'll ask anyone this. Say, if you would want a $6 million player, would you want Matt Duchene or Logan Couture? Everyone would pick Logan Couture.
Right.
Everyone. They're both making the same money. That kind of contract, when you see that from that organization is stupid. It's stupid.
Right.
What has Duchesne done in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
That to deserve that kind of raise. And the same with Landeskog. It's not that they're bad players, but now all of a sudden next year those guys are going from, you know, being third and fourth year pros to making $6 million.
Right.
Is that really the right thing for those guys? Like, are they just gonna be living it up in Colorado
right.
with the ski bunnies and not really giving a crap about winning? I don't care. I hope they don't give a crap, and I hope that the yeah. the Avalanche suck.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, Dallas now in the Central. It's weird to see Dallas not in our division, but they're now in the Central Division. What do you think about Dallas? Now they have a new GM, Jim Neal, who was an assistant GM for the oft-copied Detroit Red Wings, probably bringing a little bit more experience to the organization. Joe Neuendijk before him, and then the weird yet wacky Brett Hull experiment before that. So now we have Jim Neal, we have some stability, and we have a brand new player in Tyler Seguin who was traded for late last year. What do you think about Dallas?
I think that they're finally have some direction.
Yeah.
You know, I like the moves that they made. I mean, this team is going to be competitive. I think they're mm-hmm. they're a borderline playoff team in that central division where after you know, Chicago and St. Louis and Minnesota, that fourth team, I think, is a question mark. And could it be Dallas? Yeah, I think it could be Dallas if everybody stays healthy. I mean, Gonchar and Goligoski are, that's a good 1-2 punch. And if Seguin can play up to his potential, if Ray Whitney can keep the Geritol a-flowing.
I think this
isn't a bad team. It's no, better than Colorado.
They're a hell of a lot better than Colorado. I mean, to our Dallas fan who maybe still be listening, or maybe he's finally quit in a fit of pique, but the Seguin-Jamie Benn combination could be explosive. You got two young guys who are fast, great hands, can score. That could be a dynamite combination. They got Rich Peverly, who is a really awesome third-line player for Boston. A lot of teams would love to have a player like Rich Peverly, who they got in that trade. You know, Eric Cole, still not a bad player. Ray Whitney, still not a bad player. So, you know, their top six doesn't look terrible, you know, and they have Peverly if they're going to play him on the third line. Obviously, it gets a little thinner after that because, you know, this is a team that missed the playoffs. But I think their defense isn't bad, and if Kerry Layton can stay healthy, they're not bad. So I'm with you. I think they could make the playoffs. They could be sort of a bubble team. And last year, they seemed to really have nothing going for them. They had one good player in Ben. They had a bunch of other players that were 80 years old. And you thought to yourself, what the hell is going on with this team? And maybe Jim Neal is going to be able to turn this ship around a little bit faster than we thought.
Yeah. And actually, for Dallas fans, it probably wouldn't be such a bad thing if they didn't make the playoffs and Jim Neal did the right thing by trading a Ray Whitney, a Vernon Fiddler, a Stefan Robidas at the deadline and getting more assets for them.
Right.
And continuing to look towards the future. I think if they've obviously built it to be competitive this year, but I don't think anybody thinks Dallas is going to win a first round playoff matchup. I mean, if they are the four seed and they play Dallas, I'm sorry, if they play LA or Chicago, that's yeah. not going to be that hard.
Yeah. They're going to be in some trouble. Dude, we have Minnesota next. So I don't know what to think about Minnesota, to be honest with you. I think that they have a lot of potential. Clearly they have the great players that we talked about a minute ago. They have Ryan Suter on defense. They have Zach Parise on the front. Mika Koivu, you know, has always been a very steady player, but they have a lot of guys that it's hard to know what's really going to happen. You know, guys like Nito Niederreiter, who made such a splash a few years ago at the World Juniors, but couldn't really catch on the island. We have, obviously, Torrey Mitchell. Charlie Coyle is maybe the new... Charlie Coyle may be on the top line from some stuff I've read. Charlie right. Coyle may be in the top, you know, playing with Parise every night. And if he stumbles, they could be in trouble. And you know, they got some decent D, but it's not the deepest defensive core I've seen in a while. But they always seem to have really good goaltending. So I think they're a step above Dallas, but they're not a lock to necessarily... I mean, they could stumble. I could see it happening.
Yeah, the health of their goaltenders, I think, is a huge question. And Backstrom had, I think, hernia surgery, and Josh Harding's well-reported and courageous battle with MS,
mm-hmm.
and he's still playing. You know, that's, you know, they traded Hackett in the Pominville deal, so they lost that blanket of protection. That's a big question mark. You know, yeah. if they have some health problems in goal, they could have some major problems. But if I was going to put something in cement right now, there'd be two playoff matchups I put in cement. And one of them is St. Louis versus Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs.
Really?
And, I mean, that's the two seed.
The 2-3?
That's the 3 seed. I think that they're the ones that will be meeting in that Central Division first round.
Okay. Next team we have is Nashville. Nashville, dude? Anything?
Well, you know, they added a couple of forwards that would be guys that you'd expect to be on that team. You know, Victor Stahlberg, Eric Nystrom, Matt Hendricks. They added, you know, these are kind of Matt Cullen. These are kind of Nashville, hardworking, lunch pail kind of guys, maybe with a little more skill. I mean, Stahlberg's going to be out. You know, giving Eric Nystrom a 4-year contract is just
ridiculous,
stupid. But that's what you have to do if you're Nashville to draw some of these guys there.
I guess.
I don't know. I'm not excited about Nashville, but could they make the playoffs?
No.
Yeah, I think they could.
No.
I think they definitely could. If this team plays Nashville hockey, they could make the playoffs, dude, because, you know, they still have good goaltending. They have some cap space. A lot of it's going to depend on how good is Seth Jones in his rookie year. But if Rene plays well and they play Barry Trotz style hockey, this team will beat you 2-1 occasionally. More often than not, maybe.
I say not even occasionally.
They have no
scoring.
They've never had scoring.
They even have less now than they ever did. They got nothing.
But I disagree. I think that they have a bunch of guys. They have. I wouldn't trade the Sharks roster for the Predators roster.
Yeah.
I'm not. They don't have a Couture, but they do have Philip Forsberg. Who I don't think we can forget about that guy. He was a coveted prospect. How good is he going to be? I mean, we'll see. He's going to have a chance to be a stud there.
He's certainly going to have a chance because nobody else can score. Dude, St. Louis.
Yeah, you know, St. Louis. They're going to be St. Louis, man. I hate playing against them in a full year of Bomeister and Jordan Leopold. That blue line is...
Fearsome.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably the best in the NHL. You know, maybe Rangers and Blackhawks fans might argue with you, but
I think I'd take the Rangers top six over the Blues,
but it's close. I mean, all six of those guys, and then you've got Ian Cole as your seven.
Yeah.
I mean, on half the teams in the NHL, Ian Cole would be
top four.
You'd only be playing at least top six. So, I mean, they're very deep. They added, you know, that little turd, Maxim LaPierre.
Yeah.
They added Brendan Morrow. They added Derek Roy, who I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah.
So if they're replacing Perron with Derek Roy, I don't think that's a good trade. You know, I mean, Magnus. They traded Perron to Edmonton for Magnus Pajarvi.
Yeah, Pajarvi, yeah.
But they've got some kids there. They've got Jordan Schwartz. You know, they've got the Tarasenko. They're good. I mean, they're a good team.
They're really good.
We know the Sharks do not match up well against St. Louis. I guess if there's good news, the Sharks don't have to see St. Louis until the very end, unless they finish fourth in the division. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think this team is, you know, I took them in my second round of picks in our draft, and I was happy to get them at number six because I think St. Louis has a very, very good chance of making the Western Conference Finals at least, and could make the Stanley Cup Finals. There isn't a problem with this roster anywhere. You know, they don't have they don't have any difficulties any place. They got good guys all up and down the roster.
I think they do have one potential problem, and that is the drop-off in their goaltending last year was evident. And which group is going to show up? I mean, Brian Elliott became more than human. And
subhuman.
Yeah, and Halak was okay.
Yeah.
So, and they don't have Ben Bishop hanging around anymore. Now they have Jake Allen. They seem to like Jake Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Could Jake Allen be the starting goaltender for the St. Louis Blues and them win the Stanley Cup? Probably not.
No.
So that's their weak spot, I think, possibly.
But it's pretty unlikely that both of them are going to tank at the same time. Although
they kind of both did last year.
They did last year, but I don't think the...
And Halak's health is an issue. It's always an issue.
I don't think it's likely they're going to do that again at
I
the same time.
I wish bad health on both. Nothing fatal.
Nothing fatal. Just
temporary.
Uncomfortable. Just really uncomfortable.
Just a tugging groin.
Yeah, just like a bad hemorrhoid. All right. Winnipeg Jets, dude. Anything to see here? We got Blake Wheeler on a long contract now. You know,
yeah, I don't think this team is bad.
They're not bad,
but I don't think they're good either. You know, I think they have some major problems at center. When Brian Little and Olli Jokinen are your top two centers, that's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the two worst number one, two centers in the league.
Yeah.
So if that's your top two centers, you're not going to make the playoffs. And that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And there's a lot of... I still think they're paying a lot of guys a lot of money on D, and I don't know if... Although Dustin Byfuglien had a pretty damn good year last year. But Bogosian...
All I could think of is that picture of him standing on the dock weighing about 300 pounds.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to rely on that guy. He seems totally untrustworthy in terms of he's the Pablo Sandoval of hockey. I mean, this guy could eat his way
out of a job. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that in the Central, when you get beyond Chicago and St. Louis and Minnesota, I think that fourth spot between Dallas and Nashville and Winnipeg is a little up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little up in the air. I think you're going to see those teams kind of beat each other up most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting.
Dude, okay, we're on the Pacific Division now. Of course, starting alphabetical order, we're talking about the Ducks, which no one is ever excited to talk about on this show. Dude, we were hoping the Ducks were going to suck last year. They didn't. They won the damn division. It was, you know, it was bad times.
That's not going to happen again, dude. I would bet any amount.
Even if Dustin Penner's wife provides pancakes to the entire team.
Yeah. This team will be fortunate to make the playoffs. I think they'd be fortunate if that happened. The Silverberg for Bobby Ryan is a downgrade. You know, with the new pads, Victor Faust was one of the players that they made that rule about. You know, this guy... known for large pads, is he going to be able to play when he had played like three NHL games before Bomber? I'm going to give you tons of money.
Here's a big sack of cash.
Yeah, here you go. He played very well last year with regular size pads. Is he going to be as good?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not afraid of the Ducks, especially with Sheldon Surrey being out to start the year. Not afraid of them. I'm not.
I'm not afraid of them, but I think they make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs, yes?
No.
Really?
Nope. I don't think they do.
They got the third line like they did a few years ago, dude. They got...
Really?
They got Winnick, Cogliano.
No.
Yeah, they do. Third line again.
No, they do not. You just named two guys that nobody wanted.
Daniel Winnick is like still one of the best defensive centers.
You just named two guys that nobody wanted.
I wanted Daniel Winnick.
But obviously no one else did.
I know, but I wanted Daniel Winnick, damn it.
No, you're wrong.
I'm not saying I'm scared of the Ducks, but I was way wrong about them last year, and they're not appreciably different. And Getzlaff had a little bit of a fall off, and I think he's going to rebound. Getzlaff is a great player, and I keep saying, like, the second line's not going to do it, but they kind of managed to do it every year. So I think they could easily be the three seed in the.
If I had to pick, the three, no.
Yeah.
No.
You think Vancouver's going to beat them?
Nope.
All right, we'll get to that. Calgary, I don't think this is the. I don't think this is the team that you think is going to be the three seed. Calgary is, I think, almost certainly the worst team in the NHL.
Yeah. The only certainty about Calgary is Jay Feaster will be fired at some point during the year.
Right.
And
payback is a bitch, right? Like, he was brought in as, if for those that remember, he was brought in as this consultant while Sutter was still the GM. And everyone's like, yeah, that's really not hiding anything. Clearly, GM's going to be the Feaster's going to be the GM at some point. So Sutter gets hired, Feaster gets installed, and now all of a sudden they brought in Brian Burke as a consultant. Yeah. Oops. I wonder if that's going to happen.
They're going to trade Camilleri at some point. They'll probably trade Matt Stajan. They'll probably trade Leeds Stepniak, you know, get some picks in return. You know, might be able to get, depending on how Camilleri plays, you might be able to get a decent prospect from somebody. At the deadline, their goaltending situation is abysmally, abominably awful.
Mm-hmm.
Kari Ramo, you're banking on this guy who was a laughingstock in Tampa during his first run in the NHL. He went to the KHL and played well, and now he's going to be the starting goalie.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He's going to be terrible. But in he's going to be behind. Look at this defense, dude.
I know. Weidman, I've always liked. He's not bad, but he's not great. Mark Giordano, I've always really liked. He's not bad, but he's not great.
Okay.
And then it's terrible after that. It's just awful.
Brody, Shane O'Brien, Chris Butler, Chris Russell.
I have no idea who Derek Smith is.
And Goldie Hawn.
It could be anybody. It's Kurt
Russell.
It's bad. Kurt Russell.
I know.
All right. Yeah, their defense is bad. Their offense might actually be worse, and their goaltending might be worse still. The Calgary Flames are terrible.
They're in terrible shape, too.
Okay, Edmonton, dude. What do we think about Edmonton?
Well, here's my issue with Edmonton is that this team is so wildly unbalanced in terms of top-end skill players and the rest of their roster that I think that if you're an Oilers fan, you've just got to be beside yourself right now.
Right.
That they don't seem to get it. I think they don't get it at all in terms of how to run this team. You know, they've got Eberle, Hall, Hemsky, Gagne, Perron, Nugent-Hopkins, Yakupov. I mean, that is
ridiculous.
So many skill players that are so similar that if you're the GM of Edmonton, before now you've got them locked up to these $6 million deals. He's got three of these guys signed for extensions of over $6 million, which makes them their tradability hampered, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Maybe the right thing to do is to move Nail Yakupov and try and, you know, you pick up the phone and you call Phoenix and you say, Yakupov for Keith Yandle.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of conversation, or you pick up the phone to Nashville and during the draft and you say, Nugent Hopkins for the fourth pick.
Yeah.
Right? And you, a team like that, like Nashville, that has no top end elite scoring, who could desperately use a Yakupov, and maybe they go, okay. You know, Seth Jones goes the other way.
Right.
They have Justin Schultz, but besides that, dude, I know Andrew Ferentz is going to change what's going on there.
Andrew Ferentz is a good player, but
he's not going to change what's going on there.
Not even close. And you're 100% right.
Dennis Grebishkov returning to the NHL is not going to change what's going on there.
Jeff Petrie. No thanks. This team is so ridiculously top-heavy that, you know, Devan Dubnyk's a decent goalie. I guess he's finally sort of made it. But their defense is not nearly up to par. And they just got a million young guns. And they're going to be wasting these guys, you know, sort of. Well, they've already wasted their cheap years by signing them to these extensions way too early. Okay. And they're going to be now wasting these guys' prime, which in the NHL is usually between 24 and 27, waiting around for a top-end defenseman, and Justin Schultz may be that, but you got to have more than one good guy. You got to have a bunch of good guys in order for this to work. So yeah, I think it's terrible what Edmonton's done. They have so many good players, and yet they really have no chance, which is an awful, awful place.
It's not too late. I mean, it's not too late. I think that they could make a move or two and really fix the core of this team, which is just so ridiculously top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's got to be teams out there that would be interested in that, but they need to pick up a Wayne Simmonds. They need to mm-hmm. pick up their Maxime Talbot. They need to pick up their Dave Boland. I mean, maybe it's not those guys at that point, but they've got to make a move like that or they're going to be out of the playoffs again.
Yep. Dude, Kings.
Just.
Yeah.
Dominant. I mean, the Enforce, they are as good as last year. They lose Dustin Penner and replace him with Matt Fratton, which is probably an upgrade.
Yeah.
And, you know, they add Carcillo, who's just another.
Who'd they get for Bernier again?
They got Fratton, they got Scrivens, and they something else. You know, I mean, I thought that return on that trade was not quite enough. But, I mean, you talk about outstanding blue lines. I mean, their blue line is outstanding. And it's very strong. If Regier and Green and Mitchell are healthy, Foinoff is turned into an outstanding player last year. We know about Drew Doughty. And Jake Muzzin was pretty good, too. I mean, the Kings are
stacked.
They're stacked. They're a good team. They're very good.
All right, dude. Let's see. Phoenix, dude. Is this your pick to make the playoffs, dude? Who's going to be the number three here?
Yes. My pick is Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah, I sort of feel like last year was a bit of a fluke and that, you know, what's changed here? You know, it's the same basic guys playing the Tippett system. I think they have a bounce back year this year. And I hate to say it, I almost gonna throw up in my mouth,
mm-hmm.
but Ribeiro's going to help them.
I know.
He's going to help them. They're going to be a better team with Ribeiro. I mean, they're going to score a little more. He's a top end offensive player in the NHL. He's a good center. Is he a number one center on most teams? Probably not, but he's a good number two. And
he is number two. I'll give you that.
But you're going to see some of these guys be better because of the presence of Ribeiro. And Ekman Larson, Yandel, Mahalik, Klesla. I mean,
their defense is good.
Their defense is good. Mike Smith, if he can return to the goalie that he was, and really the turnaround will be because of Thomas Greiss.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I think Doan is still going to slide some more. He's been a great player, but he's not a top end scorer anymore. Martin Hanzel, they keep hoping to be the top end scorer and he's not. Really, the only top end scorer they might have might be Radim Verbata, actually. And Mike Ribeiro is more of a distributor than a scorer. I don't think they got enough goal scorers.
Well, that's always been the case with them, though.
And I don't know if they can. I don't think that they can compete against some other top end teams. I don't know how. I mean, if they can stop the Sharks and keep the Sharks from scoring a lot of goals, then I might have. That might be interesting to see in terms of whether they can make the playoffs. But they can't stop the Chicago's and the St. Louis's and the Kings. They can't stop those guys. So, and they certainly can't score enough because all those teams got good D. So the one thing they do have is D. Keith Yandel might be one of the best defensemen in the league. And Oliver Ekman-Larsson actually isn't very far behind. He might actually be as good or maybe even will be better in the next 2 years.
Right.
So those two guys, they have two of the best sort of younger offensive defensemen in the entire NHL. They got Zibnik Mahalik back, which is good. And Klesla's not bad. Derek Morris, that's enough of him. But, you know, and David Rumblad's a decent player. So they got a very good defensive core and clearly, you know, they're built for defense. I just don't think they can score enough to win enough games. That's the problem.
Well, I think that's always been the case with them, and they made the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. So I think they're back, and I think that's the other matchup that you can put in concrete. Sharks, Phoenix in April, first round.
Sharks, Phoenix. Okay. Dude, we'll skip over the Sharks. We've talked about them already. Vancouver.
Ha, 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 ha! Yes,
dude.
The fall of the empire is upon us.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
This is the implosion of the year. You can see it happening already.
Yeah.
This is not going to work. Torts in Vancouver is not going to work. And the fact that they thought it was going to work is hilarious to me. This team is not built for Tortorella hockey. You look at the lineup, even I'm reading it right now.
Yeah.
It's even funnier to me that they thought that this would work. The Sedins with Tortorella for a full year.
Yeah.
They're going to get hurt. I mean, something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get hurt. Ryan Kesler has had tons of injury problems. Now he's going to be asked to be playing like Dubinsky and Callahan. I mean, can he play that way? Absolutely. Is his body going to be able to hold up? I don't think so.
Right.
And this D is not built to play that way, dude.
I think the D is their saving grace.
Oh, man, dude. I think they missed the playoffs.
Hughes, Harrison, Bieksa, Edler, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
They're not going to make the playoffs. Wow. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
They're going
to. I can see it go either way. We're going to know in the first 15 games.
We're going to kick their ass on Thursday night, and that's going to be the best part.
I hope so. Well, we certainly kicked their ass in the preseason, but again, that means nothing.
Luongo is always terrible at the beginning of the year. The Tortorella-Luongo situation is going to be hilarious watching that unfold. And when it starts off poorly, which it will, it's not going to go well. Like this, that team's going to implode from within. And I cannot wait to watch it happen.
I hope you're right.
And when Luongo's bad, they'll just put in Schneider. Oops.
Oh, wait. They'll put in Eddie Lack, who got lit by San Jose the other night. Well, dude, that's our Western Conference. So I think it's pretty clear who we got. We got Chicago, St. Louis, Minnesota, and I think I might have Dallas in the Central. And then we have L.A., Sharks, Anaheim, and you have Phoenix. I think I might have Vancouver.
Yeah, I'm going to take, if I had to pick the 8 playoff teams, I'd agree with you on everything in the top 3. And I think the last 2 teams are going to come out of the Central. I think it's going to be Nashville, and I think it's going to be Dallas. I think those will be the last 2 teams.
Yeah,
so the Kings will see a crossover team.
Right.
You know, in the first round.
All right, dude. Well, I think we're all ready for the season.
Where do you think the Sharks are going to finish, dude? Second?
I think they're going to be second in the Pacific. Yeah.
What do you think?
I really hope the Ducks aren't that good, because I was really pissed to see the Ducks be good last year, and I don't know if I could take it if they're good.
Talking about the division as we talk through it, the Pacific is ripe for the taking right now. I mean, like it.
What?
I'm sure in terms of the rest of the teams are not as good as LA and the Sharks, and the drop-off, I think, is evident. You know, I mean, Phoenix, I think, will be good, but they're not as good as San Jose. The Kings and the Sharks could kind of run away with 2 playoff spots. It's possible that there's a very clear separation between them and the others. And then, you know, to have Calgary maybe the worst team in the NHL in your division is not going to – it's going to help everybody.
Yeah.
But it will help the Sharks.
That's true.
I felt certainly a lot better about it when Torres was going to be healthy the whole year.
Mm-hmm. Now, not as much, but...
But with 3 of your most important players entering a contract year, the Sharks could surprise people.
Right.
They could surprise people, and they might be more motivated than ever to really get it done. And maybe not extending any of those guys during the year is exactly the right way to play it.
Right.
Don't extend them. Make them want it.
That's true.
Make them want it.
Yeah.
They all say they want to stay. Well, if you want to stay,
or you just say stuff to them in the hall. I heard Carolina's looking for a center. And I was like, Buffalo's looking for a center. Joe Thornton puckers up, goes out and scores 4 goals.
Well... We'll see, dude.
This might be the longest podcast ever.
How long is it?
64 minutes.
This is a Western Conference preview.
I know, dude. Very, very important. We're ready for the season, dude. I want to get us and our fans and our listeners ready for the season.
We're ready.
We're absolutely ready. We're going to
fantasy draft on Monday night.
Yeah.
Season opens on Tuesday night. Sharks open on Thursday. Let's go.
Go Sharks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.